Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet, Tuesdays and Friday evenings, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've been saying Monday evenings. Probably there may have been a schedule change. If not, if you're listening to this on WBCQ, this is the time that it should be on. And in addition to the great WBCQ, you can pick this up on our Podomatic page. Just go to podomatic.com and you put in Camp Constitution Radio. You should be able to get all of our archive programs for the last 5 or 6 years. In addition to that, we uploaded a lot of classic speeches and lectures of people like Gary Allen and Alan Stang and Sam Blumenfeld, and many other timeless lectures that you can download. And we just uploaded, I think, a speech by Zola Foster that she made in the mid-90s. She was an educator from California, wonderful lady and a friend. And you can also listen to this show on our various podcast platforms, including Podomatic. That's our flagship. And we also on Amazon, Spotify, and about a half a dozen others. We just got an email from Angola saying that this show is like very popular, like the top 10 of its category in the country of Angola. So a shout out to the good folks there. And I know people do listen to the show. BCQ, of course, is worldwide, but also people pick up our podcast worldwide as well. Although our mission mainly is in the United States, because and a lot of people from foreign countries tell us this, that if the United States falls, the rest of the world will much likely fall with it. And again, this show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among all things, runs a week-long family camp. And July 14th to the 19th, we have a sneaking suspicion, and I'm going to mention why in a few seconds, that our camp will not only be full, but it will be full pretty quickly, and we would reluctantly have to turn people away. And I say this because one of our instructors and a good friend, Willie Soon, Professor Soon, was a guest on the Tucker Carlson show. Now, Tucker has a studio in Maine and Florida, and in this time of year, he's wisely in Florida. And he invited Willie, at least someone, one member of his staff reached out to Willie and said, "Hey, would you want to come on the show?" And of course, Willie said, "Absolutely." So Tucker flew him down to his place in Florida and interviewed him. I believe the interview was on a Thursday in December. I think it was December 17th, because Willie had reached out to us asking for advice, you know, what to say, what. And I urged him to promote Camp Constitution, and he said that he had every intention to. So he got. I put him in touch with Vince Ellison, who I'm going to be talking about in a few minutes at some length. And they chatted on the phone, and Willie did a really great job. He emailed me right after shortly after the interview, saying that Tucker Carlson was visibly excited to hear about Camp Constitution, and said that he would plan to be there and speak to the campers. We haven't set a particular day for that, but we're very excited about that. And the interview aired last, let's see, I think it was on a Thursday late morning. That would be Thursday, whatever date that was, last week. And the last minute and a half or 2 minutes, Willie gave a Camp Constitution infomercial. You know, he did it from the heart, too. It wasn't one of these canned presentations. He just says that he and his children go, and they've been going for a number of years. And he said it's a tiny, tiny camp, but he's encouraging people from around the country to come, to get involved, to help us out, et cetera, et cetera. He mentioned that he says, we talk about Jesus and the Bible, but that's not all we do. And he mentioned, you know, the campfire and some other things. Well, we got such an incredible response. We got more views on our website, campconstitution.net, than we got from all of the media coverage that we got with the Christian flag combined. Now, with the Christian flag lawsuit, it sort of built up the first few years from 17 to the lawsuit was filed. Well, the ball got rolling in September 17. and it got some media. And then in 18, the lawsuit was filed and it made media. And then when the lawsuit, when the Supreme Court took the case, it made even more. But they was mentioned of Camp Constitution, but they didn't give out the website and urge people to attend. And I think that makes all the difference. So you did have a lot of people, especially May, I think May 2nd of 2022, we had a lot of people go to our website, but it was like a 3 or 4 day. And I don't think we got any donations out of it. Someone donated 5,000 copies of pocket copies of the Constitution. It was a friend who had done that in the past, but was particularly excited to hear it. And we sold one, I think we got one order from our website, book order. But with Willie Soon, now it's not only on Tucker Carlson on his website, but it's on YouTube and Rumble and Twitter and a number of other outlets. And then a lot of people download it and upload it on their sites. So for the past 5 or 6 days, we've got lots, I think close to 40,000 views. We've got people who have made donations, unsolicited donations, $1,200. Someone is offering a $15,000 donation to someone else in the real estate business. Is going to become a sponsor. And we still, even today, almost a week later, not quite a week later, but we're still getting lots of responses. A lot of people sending me emails that I mentioned earlier, book orders. It's been very gratifying, very busy, because I want to answer everybody. I don't want to, and a few will kind of sometimes go through the cracks. So I thought a shout out to Willie for his promotion. And of course, thanks to Tucker Carlson, who was able to air the show. And Willie's, and if you go to Tucker, if you just put in Tucker Carlson on Twitter, Tucker Carlson on YouTube, you'll find the interview. And I did sign up for the Tucker Carlson, the online, his website. You can get free content, but you can get for $72, I think you can, for a year, you can get everything he does. And so we did help him out, help out the cause financially as well. So it was very gratifying to see that. And it's always good to reach out to people, even people local that said, I've never heard of you. Well, it's not that we're not trying to get your attention. We've been doing it right along. Now, my wife and I drove down to Virginia to visit my daughter, Emily. We also had got a chance to visit with my other daughter, Christina, who was a nurse in Duke University Hospital. She drove up. My youngest daughter, Emily, got her Florence Nightingale lamp. Now, I guess at Liberty University, that's a tradition for all second-year nursing students to get this lamp. Florence Nightingale, of course, was known as the mother, I don't know her official title, but the mother of modern nursing. And she would carry a lamp while she would be in the tents of men who were wounded or dying from injuries in battle. And they award this. It was a very short ceremony. But anyway, we went down there and we got a chance to visit with our good friend, Vince Ellison. Vince Ellison had been a guest on our show not too long ago. And we have, we're going to be bringing him to the greater Boston and New Hampshire area early May. If you go to our website, campconstitution.net, and look at the calendar, you'll see he's going to be in Lexington. There's going to be a couple of private invitation only, but then a couple open to the public. But both venues are not gigantic. We're going to be here in Alton, New Hampshire, and one in Lexington, Massachusetts. I think it's May 2nd and 3rd, and we may have a few other engagements. So we do have a few other than it's already on the schedule. So Vince is the author of 3 books, and he's got a 4th book where he's working on. He's also the producer and director of a documentary entitled Will You Go to Hell for Me? In this documentary, the answer is, will you go to hell for me? That's the Democrat Party asking people, if you support our agenda, you're going to go to hell. because of what it stands for. It's anti-God, anti-family, anti-Christian, and, you know, anti-religion, anti-positive religion, I guess you could say, though, you know, I'm not talking about the dark religions, Satanism. In fact, it is satanic. They support the transgenderism. They support the homosexual. They support the climate change cult, government control over almost everything in your life. And they formally took out, I think, any reference to God in their last platform in 2020. And I'm sure they're going to keep it that way. And it's my understanding that there is only one pro-life Democrat in Congress. And he's based, I can't remember. In fact, I mentioned his name in my upcoming book. And they spent a lot of money trying to unseat him. So the Democrats back in the 70s, there was a lot of pro-life Democrats. It was, in fact, most of them were Catholics. All the Democrat Catholics were pro-life. They basically had to be. That's their doctrine. But times have changed a whole lot since then. And now Democrat Party is completely in favor of abortion. Now, there's some pro-life Democrats at state level. Not many. There's still some, but again, not a whole lot. And by the way, there's plenty of Republicans that support abortion, too. I want to always point that out. For example, it was Nelson Rockefeller and Ronald Reagan that signed legislation to make abortion illegal in their respective states, New York and California, even before Roe v. Wade, thankfully, which was overturned. But Vince has a very interesting story, and you can go to his website, VinceEllison.com, and you can get actually find this article. Now, yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, and I think people who are regular listeners to the show know that I am no fan of Martin Luther King. I would like to be. I wish I could say he was a brother in the Lord, that his work was incredible, that he made such wonderful progress and brought people together, and necessary legislation was passed to help things, help people who have been discriminated and oppressed and all that. I wish I could say that, but I can't. Please bear with me. I actually was getting over a cold, and I don't think I have a mute button here. Oh, I guess I do. So if I get another little coughing bout, I will mute here. So Vince learned from me that Martin Luther King was the first recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award. And I learned from him that the author of that speech that King gave, I Have a Dream speech, was Communist Party official and someone who was an ally of King, Stanley Levinson. Now, I was familiar with Levinson, but I didn't know that he wrote that speech. And you know what? I have to revisit that speech because King also, the speech that he gave, or I should say his wife gave or read at the first Margaret Sanger Award, 1966. Now, I don't think King wrote it. Not that I say he wasn't capable of writing it, but I don't think he wrote it. He wasn't able to attend, so his wife attended and read the speech. And I think about a week or two later, King affirmed the comments because he sent a letter to the head of Planned Parenthood at that time, thanking him for the opportunity to be there and giving that speech. And I've got to work on a final edit before I put it in print. But there's some. I published a speech. And I made a critique of it from a Christian perspective, that a Christian, a person who has accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, could not have possibly written that speech. And it's humanistic, it's anti-God, and it's basically somebody, it's like playing God. We are planning our families, you see. Well, look at it 50 years later and how well or good is family planning. How's that working out for you folks? The Black family, I think in 1965, in fact, I'm going to read the quote here when I read the article. In 1965, I think it was 20% out of wedlock, which was pretty bad, 1 out of 5. That was considered unacceptable. We got to change this. And now it's close to 70%. So family planning has not really worked out as well as these so-called family planners. So Here's the article that it's on our blog. We published it yesterday. Actually, today. Well, I published it late yesterday, so it shows up at January 16th. Time to reevaluate the legacy of Martin Luther King by Vince Ellison. After finding evidence that the man of God, in quotation marks, and moral conscience of our nation, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., participated in the rape of a parishioner, engaged in numerous sex orgies, received cash payments from known communists, and admitted that he was a Marxist, King biographer and Pulitzer Prize winner author David Garrow wrote of King, "There is no question that a profoundly painful reckoning and reconsideration inescapably awaits." And let me just stop right there. There's a, here we go. You know what? He mentions this, so let me just keep reading the article. "Black Democrats and white liberals rail about the gains derived from the civil rights movement. I ask, what gains? If murder, poverty, and mass incarceration are gains, you may have a point. In an attempt to make him untouchable, liberals have protected King's counterfeit legacy by sealing his FBI files until 2027. Nevertheless, his reckoning is here." Let me just stop for a second. A federal judge sealed the records for 50 years. And these were the FBI records. And by the way, J. Edgar Hoover, I know Boo Hiss, he got the authority to do this by Robert Kennedy. So you want to blame anybody of you liberals? Oh, this was the Republican conspiracy. No, it was Democrats doing it. Let me continue. "But that reckoning shouldn't occur exclusively because of King's immoral behavior. It shouldn't happen because the good Reverend's best friend, Ralph Abernathy, in his book, And the Walls Came Tumbling Down, described King beating a woman and sleeping with two others at the Lorraine Motel the night before his death. Or because Arthur Schlesinger recorded Jackie Kennedy saying he was a terrible, phony, and tricky. Or that black Major League Baseball player Don Newcomb reported to the FBI that King was a drunk and he had an illegitimate child by a woman married to a sterile Los Angeles dentist. Or because King allowed the dirty world of politics to turn the black church into a puppet of the atheist and racist Democrat Party. No, this reckoning should happen because Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement have failed black people. They managed only to elect many black Americans into office, with most of them belonging to the same evil Democrat Party that had necessitated the civil rights movement by enslaving, raping, castrating, and oppressing black Americans for over 150 years. After 50 years of following King's failed ideology, consider these results. On June 4, 2020, the Washington Post reported no decrease in black and white citizens' wealth gap since 1968. The Brookings Institute reported that in 1965, only 24% of black children were born out of wedlock. In 2020, it was 69.4, approximately a 300% increase. Between 2019 and 2020, blacks made up 11% of the population, but 50% of all murders. In May 2019, Penn State and UCLA reported that school segregation is getting worse. This is King's legacy? Why are we celebrating it? Explaining how to recognize a false prophet, Jesus said, "A tree is known by the fruit it bears." He said, "You cannot get bad fruit from a good tree. The fruits of the black community almost unanimously are rotten to the core." What good has come from Martin Luther King's movement for black America? The American black community is at the bottom of nearly every social economic statistic. The black family is weaker. The black church is more apostate. The black economy is non-existent. Black government is corrupt. Black education is terrible. Are we celebrating failure, or was this their intention? To have been a Christian minister, it is illuminating that King's ideology is anathema to Christianity, manliness, and American freedom. Consider this. After attempting to integrate an all-white hotel in 1965, when asked what he wanted, King replied, "My dignity. I hate the story. God gave all of us our dignity, but King and his minions taught America that white people held the dignity of black America in their hands and that we had to beg them to release it." His low opinion of black people was on full display when he said black people could not pull themselves up from their bootstraps because they did not have any boots. He told us nonviolence is a Christian virtue. That is not true. There is no virtue in strong Christian men allowing their wives and children to be beaten, raped, and murdered as King demanded. Non-aggression is a Christian virtue, not non-violence. And let me interject here. Vince Ellison points out that non-aggression, and he said, and his, you know, the term meek doesn't mean weak. And he said, you respect me, I respect you. You mess with me and my family, then you got a problem. And that's the way I think all Christian men should have. So let me continue. Force integration, or forcing others to allow you to be where you are not wanted or not invited, is not a Christian or manly virtue. It is offensive to force your presence upon another. And Jesus taught that we should never offend unless it is for his sake, and never our own. To do otherwise defines you as a stalker. A stalker can never be loved, only pitied, as most Black Americans are today. In his epic I Have a Dream speech, reportedly written by his white communist handler, Stanley Levinson, King planted a sense of perpetual slavery in the minds of every Black person when he said, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro was not free. This is not true. I was born free. God gave me my freedom. In that speech, he placed in the Black mind the blasphemous idea that government is above God when he said, we have come here to cash a check from America guaranteeing our unalienable rights. This isn't true. Our unalienable rights are given to us by God. According to John Locke, these rights are irreversible, unsellable, and non-transferable. Cementing the minds of Black Americans in America the belief in Black inferiority, he delivered his most quoted line, I have a dream that one day my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin. You wish not to be judged, close quote. You wish not to be judged only by something that shames you. One should never be ashamed of something God gave him. Furthermore, Christianity teaches that we cannot and should not try to control the actions of others. The stupid, ignorant racist should not be concerned about me. I am never concerned about his judgment or bigotry. We can only control ourselves. There's nothing wrong with the color of my Black skin. You are welcome to judge me by it. Underestimate me at your peril. He ended this epic speech by doubling down on the fact that Blacks were not free and we needed the permission of white people to be free by saying, knowing that we will be free one day, and on a certain day we can say, free at last, thank God Almighty we are free at last. Let me reiterate, I was born free. No man can set me free. I just am. His speech set in motion decades of Black victimization and white guilt. It is recited from every classroom in America, indoctrinating future generations to believe that lie of Black inferiority and the goodness of government dependency. Instead of being recited, it should be reevaluated, condemned, and placed in the trash bin of history beside the Dred Scott and Plessy v. Ferguson rulings. These King statements that have long been part of America and our canon in Black America thought must be pulled up root and stem. White Americans are not responsible for and cannot solve the problems of Black people. No other racial group in America carries this badge of inferiority, depending for all their future success on the actions of another racial group. Most comprehend the insanity of this ideology, and the present condition of Black society testifies to its epic failure. Therefore, King's reckoning is at hand, and as with the old Confederacy, it is time for a reconsideration. Regarding King, Jim Tote wrote, toward the end of his life, a major poll found that nearly two-thirds of Americans held an unfavorable opinion of the civil rights icon. On March 4, 2015, CBS News ran a story titled, Have the Goals of the Civil Rights Movement Been Achieved? 54% of all Americans and 72% of Black Americans said no. With all the speeches, marches, and pieces of legislation with no success, it is time to understand that King was wrong. Black Americans cannot garner love and respect through legislative coercion. History has proven that it is a waste of time even to seek it. We should spend our time trying to control and improve ourselves, praying for and protecting ourselves from people who mean us harm while cherishing the people we love. There is evidence that King's new society that teaches pity, not esteem, begging instead of earning, and stalking instead of standing, has bred an insidious self-hate among Black people. Sadly, wherever Black people live in close proximity with one another, they hurt, disrespect, and kill each other on an individual level while aborting their children at three times the level of white women. When stalking, begging, and pity didn't work, King resorted to violence. He contracted out his violence to a third party. He used the gun of the federal government to force the racist Democrats to allow Black Americans in their presence. intentionally or unintentionally, King placed Black America into the sad position where they are now not respected but pitied, where they are not wanted but tolerated, where they do not earn but are given, thus leaving too many of these Black people filled with hate, pride, envy, and grievance, devoid of gratitude, never satisfied, always complaining, and never saying thank you or thanking God. This line of thinking has produced a generation of Black people where they exist, mostly victims and their victimhood supporters and allies. Black Lives Matter, Congressional Black Caucus, the NAACP, all marvelous beggars, cowards, and thieves. Taylor Branch, in his book, Parting the Waters, America in the King Years, called Martin Luther King Jr. a pawn of history. He is that and much worse. He is a weapon the left wields in the Democrat Party, designed to keep America in condemnation and Black people in their place. King's aforementioned immoral actions are germane only in the sense that they match the immoral outcomes of the civil rights movement. Blacks must take their place as free men and women, complete with all of its dangers and glories. Black men of honor must reject all condescending overtures of affirmative action, the pity of critical race theory, and the weakness of anti-racist theory from our former oppressors. We must compete, earn, and defend as all free men do. Because of King's abusive behavior towards women, David Garrow concluded his piece on King by saying, these actions pose no fundamentally challenge to his historical stature as to require the most complete and extensive historical review possible. This may be true, but the wretched condition of Black America is a primary Black mark in King's legacy and the ultimate reason for his reevaluation. Until Black Americans reject King's ideology and accept that we should be esteemed by instead of ashamed of the color of our skin, that we, not white America, hold our dignity in our hands, that our rights come from God, not government, that we are and always have been free, and that we should never stalk, beg, and compare ourselves to white America or anyone ever again other than our former selves, Black America will remain at the bottom of every social economic statistic in the Western world. Dangerous freedom over safe slavery, justice over equality, strength and honor over pity, envy, and stalking. This is the true face of America and what God intends for all people. And I mentioned that he is the author of several books, including Crime, Inc., and the producer of the documentary We Are Good Hell for Me. His website is vinceellison.com. And he's got some great, he also has, he's on Twitter, of course, and he's got some great Twitter videos, short little videos that you can share. And I added one where he said, M.L. King said that justice comes from the white man. And by the way, Vince doesn't have a hateful bone in his body. He loves Black people. He loves white people. He loves people. He's a Christian. And so he doesn't go around with a chip on his shoulder. He's just rightfully disgusted by this. And it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage for a white person to say, hey, I'm not feeling this King guy. But for a Black man to do that, oh, yeah. And the fact that he's getting national and even national attention from people that, what really troubles me is that every year, this time, I get these emails from conservatives. Oh, the legacy of King. He was a conservative. Will the true kings just stand up? I'm listening to the news, and in Boston, they had a Martin Luther King breakfast. It must have been going on for a long time because it started at 9 and went on to about 5. And there's Ayanna Pressley yapping, and you know she's always angry, full of hate. Well, it's just a start. It hasn't been realized, but it will be realized. You see, it will never be realized. They use this as a club. She's this hateful woman. She gets elected to Congress. Meanwhile, she's doing well for herself. The city's crumbling. And she got a lot of whiteies that voted for her, too, but she hates them. And the white people, she can actually get on there and say, I hate all white people. And the white people, those white leftists, would still vote for her. That's the uncanny thing. That's what I kind of shake my head. Anyway, I do encourage you to reach out to Vince. You can get his website. He's got incredible amount of resources there for you to take advantage of. So we just got a few more seconds. I want to thank you for listening to Camp Constitution Radio. And our website is campconstitution.net. And until next week, may God richly bless you.